This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased. We're ending and wrapping up Epiphany and heading into Lent with these words today. This is my son, whom I love, in whom I'm pleased. Listen to him. The words at Jesus' baptism in the river with John, John's identified with all who gathers, and his identity is made known. But no one gathered could have imagined the fullness of what this would mean. They anticipate, they have expectations, they even have hope, but they don't understand yet what this means. We wrap up Easter, the season of Epiphany, and heading into Lent with these same words, with an important addition. This is my son. Listen to him. Now, I want to set the scene a bit for you, because it's important to know what happened just before in the gospel for today. Jesus had just asked his disciples, who do you say, or who do people say the Son of Man is? And the disciples answered, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets. But then Jesus restates, and most importantly, I think, rewords the question. Who do you say that I am? And Peter responds confidently, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus tells his disciples not to tell anyone that he is the Messiah. Shortly after that, we see Jesus once again preparing his disciples for what's to come. And Peter responds once again, never, Lord. And Jesus says these words, get behind me, Satan, and begins to warn and prepare the disciples again for what it is to come. So now we get to today's gospel. And after 6 days, Jesus picks and takes Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain. And something spectacular happens. Jesus is transfigured in front of them. His face, his clothes, all shone bright in a brilliant light. And Moses and Elijah were there with Jesus. Now, can you imagine the scene? A brilliance that's so bright, so awestruckingly striking, it would take your breath away. And you wish you could stay in that moment. Have you ever had a moment like that? A moment so amazing? A moment where God felt so close and you just wanted to stay there forever? He's outside, but maybe the lock-in was set for Lucas this week. I can tell you that Lucas and I have been on trips with our youth. Bible camp, mission trips, and we've had them as adults too. Youth gatherings. There's a radiance and a power when you're in God's presence. And Peter, you gotta love Peter, says, it's good to be here. I'll put up 3 shelters and we can stay here and not go home. But as Peter was speaking, a loud, bright cloud covered them. And a voice spoke from the cloud. This is my son, who I love. Listen to him. Now in that moment, in the brilliance of the moment, in the hearing God's words spoken, the disciples heard this and were terrified. They were terrified in the presence of God. And did you notice what Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us, with them, did? Jesus came to them. Jesus touched them, saying, "Get up. Do not be afraid." And when they looked up, Peter, James, and John saw Jesus. As they walked down from the mountain, Jesus says to them, "Do not tell anyone what you have seen until after the Son of Man is raised from the dead." Let's pause there a moment. Can you imagine the rush of emotion? Can you imagine the complex and differing and even conflicting emotions of the time? The whiplash of being in this glory of God. And it's amazing that we want to stay here forever. And being simultaneously prepared for a reality that they don't understand. As they come down from the mountain, Jesus orders them now to be silent until after the resurrection. Now, this important event does not prepare the disciples on how to explain God or even to understand what is to come. But it prepares them. It prepares them to trust God. Trust God in the unknown and the uncertainty. Faithfulness is not proven by dramatic experiences or clear answers on the mountaintop. Faithfulness is proven by learning how to walk forward when the vision dies, when the vision fades, when it becomes uncertain or unclear, and is hard to understand as the road to Jerusalem. The disciples on the mountaintop are not given instructions or strategies or certainty. They were given a glimpse of God's glory in Jesus, and then led back into the valley. They learned that God's authority sounds like a voice that calls for listening, looks like a hand that touches their fear, and moves downward into silence, even into suffering, but most of all, trust. This is a significant and important message for the disciples and for us today, because we too navigate change and loss and uncertainty. This text offers to the disciples and to us a reassurance without the illusion that there will not be times when we may be or will be afraid. Jesus reminds us from these events at the mountaintop that God doesn't abandon us in the valleys, even when clarity disappears. Christ remains present and sometimes radiant and sometimes quiet, calling the disciples, calling you and I, calling the church to listen, to rise, and to follow, even when the path isn't yet clear. Now, this may feel unsettling, but it also can be freeing. And dare we say hopeful? Because faithfulness is not measured by completion, control, or us having it all together all the time. Faithfulness is measured by trust. God's promises are made null and void by the disciples or our uncertainty. Are not made null and void by the disciples or our uncertainty. They are carried forward through it. This text invites us into the reality of an unfinished hope, of living into a promise. The call to live faithfully when prayers may seem to be even unanswered, when the future feels unclear, and when God's work seems only partially visible. This transfiguration gospel doesn't resolve that tension, and it honestly doesn't make it easier. It does, however, bless us and holds us in a promise. As the disciples, as you and I descend from the mountain into the valley times, the disciples descend not with answers, but they descend down with Jesus. And that's enough to keep moving forward. We enter into the season of Lent this week. Our theme is, tell me something good, grounding ourselves in the good news this Lent. And this Lent, we're going to be walking together through the various gospel readings that will provide us with holy moments, will invite us to listen to Jesus, will give us glimpses of the radiance of God, the radiance of God touching lives in unexpected and healing ways, touching the lives of unexpected with life-giving ways. And this, my friends, is good news for us today. The light of Christ shines for us. The light of Christ shines within us and is enough to keep us forward. Keep us moving forward, even with Jesus, his disciples, on the road to Jerusalem, and for whatever lies ahead in our lives today. So God's beloved, let us join together this Lent and listen to him. Amen.